have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19. I know there's, the Lord confirmed it this morning, but there is somebody here who has come into this house and you feel like there's been a failure or mistake that has trumped the rest of your life. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie from hell. Book of Luke, chapter 19, beginning of verse number 1, it said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down here, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, catch this, is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to title this message this morning, When Mercy Met Me. When Mercy Met Me. I believe here today that this will not just be another message, but I feel like this is a divine appointment for somebody here today. So, and it might be you here today that I'm going to be speaking to, but I want all of us to lift our hands, all of us to connect together and ask that God would speak to us individually here today. I believe God wants to get personal with someone here this morning. I wish you would lift your voice like you want him to speak to you. Maybe you have all the answers and you have everything figured out, but maybe you could cry like you need God to stop and see you here today. Let's take a moment in prayer right now. Just a moment longer. Can we just press through a little bit? I want you to look at the person next to you and simply tell them the title of today, When Mercy Met Me. Tell the person on the other side of you that you neglected. Tell them, When Mercy Met Me. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. When Mercy Met Me. I want to start this message this morning by saying that Christianity is very unique on the world stage. because in the fact that our God comes to us. Islam says you can say a prayer and come to God on your own merits. Judaism says you can follow the law and you can establish righteousness by your actions, and you can come to God through strict laws that you abide by. And Buddhism says you can meditate and get to a certain place of enlightenment, and you can raise up into the levels and strata into the supernatural world. And all of those religions say you can build a ladder that's tall enough to reach from earth to heaven. But there is no ladder tall enough for you to reach from earth to heaven. There is no work of righteousness that you can do that can help us ascend to a place of spirituality where we can access God. I'm here to tell you the simple fact that I am not good enough. I am not talented enough. I don't possess enough charisma. I'm not gifted enough on my own merits. I would but fail every single time. What it really takes is God to look down on me and to extend a ladder that would reach so far down into the muck and the mire, into the sin and the shame, and get a hold of me. Now I'm here to tell somebody, in your own ability, you cannot be saved. It takes a Savior to snatch you out of hell, to shake you and shift you and grab a hold of your life and position you. What the religious society today would say is you can create rungs on a ladder, and these rungs are rungs that are good works. If you do enough good works for people, you can get to heaven. And good works alone cannot save someone. Religion itself, they say, if you just find all roads lead to heaven after all, Pastor, if you just pick a religion, we'll all end up in heaven after a while. But that's not the fact of the matter. You could say, I'm going to have a morality about myself. I'm not going to cheat and lie, and I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to be an adulterer. I can make sure I have the right morality. And you could say, man, if I just get in a positive place and I sit there with my legs crossed and my hands outstretched and I meditate for long enough, I could tap into some wavelength of the supernatural realm. And people are out there today that have thrown themselves into philosophy, and they say, man, if I could just get a hold of as much philosophy as I can, I could somehow ascend into that realm of the supernatural. And they have all of these different rungs on the ladder. But I'm here to tell you today that there's a verse of scripture that Isaiah would tell us, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible also says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In your own ability, you'll never make heaven your home. It takes a Savior to reach to you. All I'm preaching about today is a master of the universe who's almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he stepped into time and into my life, and he met me where I was. He didn't wait till I was perfect or had it all together, but he came down in the midst of everything that I'd done, in the midst of my mess. He came down to me. He met me. He came down to my level. He came down to where I was. His hand reached further down than my hand could reach up. He reached down through every mistake that I had made. He reached down into every addiction I had thrown myself into. He reached down into the perversion of my mind. And he got a hold of me. And it caught me by surprise. Take a step back here for some of you theologians in the room, and the book of Luke is a very interesting book in the Bible because the book of Luke has a theme with it. If there's one word that could completely summarize the book of Luke, it would be mercy. Now, there's many Bible scholars that will say that the gospel of Luke should more accurately be called the gospel of mercy. So if I'm looking into the book of Luke, Luke wants to take us on a journey. And if I really want to see where mercy is, I have to follow its footsteps. And its footsteps reach all the way back into Luke chapter 15. And Luke is going to open up a parable that Jesus gave to some publicans. And the publicans were looking at Jesus and they were saying, "Why are you having fellowship with sinners? Why are they coming over and you're communing with them and you're eating with them? And this isn't right. We're righteous and we're godly and you shouldn't get down to their level." And Jesus would speak to these self-righteous people and he would tell them about a parable of some sheep. There was 100 sheep and one wandered off, and this man went and he left the 99 and he went after the one that was lost. Just one. He left the majority to reach the minority. He left the 99 just to reach the one. I'm speaking to somebody here today. He left glory to come down for your soul. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a team, Brother Johnson, that had a mascot for a sheep. They don't call them the mighty sheep, Brother Armour. There's nothing mighty about a sheep. To be honest with you, they're dumb. They have no intellect. On their own, they're going to mess up every single time. So Jesus opens this up by simply saying, hey, there's some times, I'm sad to say, there's some times where we are dumb. Now, I wish I had some real Pentecostals with me that you've made some decisions you could say was dumb. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have wandered off. I knew better. They told me not to do it. But I wandered off. I knew I shouldn't have been in that relationship. My parents told me, you don't have anything to do with that person, but I wandered off. Now, the rest of you can sit on me all you want, but for the rest of us that are standing, we're honest today to say that sometimes I messed up and I knew I shouldn't have done it. He said, sometimes you're like sheep. You just wander off and do your own thing. But yet he said, I'm going to come after you. He said, not only that, but once I get this sheep, I'm going to bear it up on my arms and carry it back to the fold, because in its own ability, it can't find its way back to the sheepfold. He said, I'll do all the work. I'll pick you up when you've messed up. I'll pick you up when you failed. I'll pick you up when you're addicted and afflicted. I'll pick you up when you've made so many mistakes. I'll carry you all the way home. And he brings some insight into this. He says that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need not repentance. He said there's a party in heaven over one dumb sheep that I got to get back in the fold. He goes on to say that about a parable of a coin. It was an inanimate object. It didn't know it was lost. It didn't know that it was lost and it drifted away. But yet there's a woman who throws over the house to find this one coin. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been dumb. I've made really bad decisions. And Jesus had to come pick me up. There's been other times where I was lost and I did not know I was lost. And Jesus threw over the house. He was thrown over the couch, thrown over the table, thrown over the chair. And he said, I'm going to find that one lost soul. I'm going to throw over the house no matter what I have. I'm going to disrupt some stuff. It's not going to be nice and organized. I know you want to come to Jesus in your nice, proper attire, but it's going to be messy. Things are going to be thrown over. Some chairs are going to be over there. Tables are going to be thrown to the side because Jesus wants your soul. Finally, he summarizes this story to these self-righteous men by simply telling them another parable. It was about the prodigal son. This prodigal son, he came to his father and said, give me mine inheritance. And the father gave him the inheritance. And the Bible says he went off into a far country and he spent all that he had on riotous living. He had invested in some mistakes and he had done some things he shouldn't have done. He drifted off from the father's house. And then the Bible says in the middle of all of his mistakes, he remembers what it was like at the father's house. Oh my goodness, when you're drifting off in sin, it's amazing that God will just drop a thought. Remember that time you were at the altar and you couldn't stop but just weep under the mercy of my hand? Remember that time you just kind of scattered in to the house of God? You didn't have the answers. You didn't know the way. You didn't know what to do, but you stumbled in and you fell down at an altar and I reached down when you didn't have the strength to reach up. He brought back to remembrance a moment where he had in the Father's house. It's so much better in the Father's house. I'm here to tell you there's no drug you can take that's going to be a substitute for the presence of God. I'm here to tell you there's nothing you can get hooked on that's better than feeling the glory of God. I'm here to tell somebody that you've questioned, is this really worth it all? I'm here to tell you, the worst day in the church is better than the best day in the world. It's better than thousands elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness for a season. Why don't you just clap your hands and say, God, I'm never going back. I'm going to stay in the Father's house. So he remembers, man, my father, he had so many of plenty. He had abundance. It was exceeding abundant of anything I could imagine. I remember what it was like to be in the Father's house. Everybody had what they needed. They had more than enough. It was sufficient for every need that they had. I remember it was so much better. And as he's grappling with this, he finally decides, I'm going to walk back home. As he begins his journey back home, he's walking. He's probably thinking, man, what am I going to tell my father? Man, what am I going to tell? What excuse can I give him of why I did what I did? Man, what can I say to justify my actions? And what am I going to do to get back in his good graces? What kind of work could I do? I really just want to be a servant in his house. I don't want to be a son. Just let me be a servant. And the Bible says the father sees him afar off. And your Bible says that he ran to the son. Can I just tell you that mercy will outrun you every day of the week? It doesn't matter how far you've been gone. He's going to run after you like you've never made a mistake a day in your life. He's going to chase after you. Not only that, he's going to hug you. He's going to embrace you. He's going to love you. He's going to love you with an unconditional love. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes I've been dumb. Sometimes I didn't know I was really lost. There's been other times where I've seen mercy outrun me. And all of this is to betray to these self-righteous men that mercy goes down into the deepest, darkest places to reach whoever he can reach. As we journey on through this, this is the heart of Jesus. I want you to hear the heart of mercy. It's chasing after those that made bad mistakes. It's chasing after the one that knew better, but he did it anyways. Mercy is pursuing. That's the heart of mercy. But now, as we begin to go through this, we start to see the hands of mercy. Luke chapter 17, the Bible says that Jesus went down into Jerusalem, into Galilee and Samaria, into a certain village, and there was 10 leprous men that were there. And these leprous men, they had body parts falling off, and man, they couldn't stand up straight. They were propping each other up because they couldn't stand. And man, they would put their shirts on and realize one of their limbs was missing. They can't wear that shirt anymore. And they realized they were really bad off. They had lost a lot of things. And then the Bible says that they see Jesus afar off, and they simply lift up their voice, and they have this cry, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The Bible says that Jesus, it gets his attention, and he stops himself, and he heals these 10 leprous men because they cried for mercy. I'm here to tell you, if you just utter these words, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me," Jesus will stop in his tracks and say, "Stop everything. Stop the service. I'm going to interrupt this. I'm coming down because they called for my name." Come on, somebody do it right now. Say, "Mercy, come and meet me where I am. Jesus, don't pass me by. I need a touch of mercy." Come on, I don't know how bad you messed up, but mercy can cover it. I don't know how bad a mistake you made, but mercy has the power to cover the worst mistake you've ever made. I want you to lift your hands right now and love the Lord. I'm here to tell you, mercy wants to meet with somebody. Mercy wants to visit you right now in the midst of everything you have going on, in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of you figuring out everything. Mercy wants to meet with you today. This is kind of a weird message for me to preach because I feel like Paul when he said, "I'm the chief among sinners." Can I just tell you, I have tried my best to mess up. Pastor, I have given it my app. I have tried so hard to mess up my future. I have done everything I possibly could to make the biggest mistake I could. Do you know what I found at the end of every single one of my mistakes? Mercy was standing right there, and he said, "Hello. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this appointment. While you were down there doing what you were doing, I was standing right here saying, I'm ready for you. I've been waiting for you. I've waited for this moment for years. Mercy's been waiting for you." Luke chapter 17, it's about 10 leprous men. The Bible says that they were cleansed of their leprosy because they cried out to Jesus, and he stopped, and he took time to hear their cry, and he healed their sickness. Now we move on to chapter number 18. I promise I'm not going to preach the whole Bible, but I wish I could. Luke chapter 18, we find another story that many of you may know about. Luke chapter 18, we find a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus is by the highway side. He's outside of Jericho, and all he has is a little tin cup. And all he can say is, hey, just give me a little bit of change. Little did he know that some change was coming down the road for him. He's lifting up his voice. He's saying, just a little bit of change would help. Just a little coin would help. And here comes Jesus. He had been blind for so many years. And he hears Jesus, or mercy is coming. He lifts up his voice, and we all know the story. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Yet again, there's a cry for mercy. He's crying for mercy. And the crowd says, be quiet. He doesn't want to stop by. He's got too much on his mind. He's got too much on his plate. He's too busy. Yet again, Blind Bartimaeus lifts his voice a little louder. And he says, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops. Mercy stops in his tracks. And he says, come forth. Blind Bartimaeus gets up and he stumbles over. He can't see where he's going. Stumbles over things, and he comes before Jesus. And Jesus says, what would you have me to do? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I've been blind. I can't see anything. Jesus said, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Mercy gave him his sight back. I don't know about you, but once I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus came and got a hold of me, and he wouldn't let me go. He gave me some sight, and I could see once again. He gave me strength so I could walk right again. He restored me to what I ought to be. Jesus met me where I was. And I want you to catch this. At the end of that story, the last verse, it says, all the people praised God. Everybody was worshiping. Look what the Lord has done. This beggar received his sight. Look what mercy can do. And then we get to our scripture text. Everybody say, finally. All right. Those are the carnal people among us. Luke chapter 19. We finally get to our scripture text. And Jesus is now entering into Jericho. And he beholds, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Oh, thank you. Wouldn't that be nice to be rich? Thank you, Jesus. Now, in this story, we have at the outskirts, there's been a blind beggar that received his sight. Jesus goes into Jericho, and there's this man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus simply means righteous. Now, I'm here to tell you that Zacchaeus did not live up to his name. I'm here to tell you that, but there's been some labels put on me that I did not live up to. Man, he should be in the church. He should be praying. He should be sold out. There's been moments in my journey, in my life, I did not live up to the expectation of my parents, of my friends, of my pastor. I didn't live up to that bar of expectation. I fell short. And the Bible says he was little of stature. You may say, well, I'm 6 feet tall, and I don't have that problem. I'm tall. I don't have to worry about little of stature. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have missed the bar of expectation that was put on us. We should have been better. We should have been good. We should have been righteous. We should have made the right decision, but we didn't do it. Zacchaeus didn't live up to his name. But the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press. Now, that press in your Bible is talking about a compacted amount of people that were around Jesus, but I want to flip that word and try to interpret it this way, if you'll allow me. Press could mean some newspaper articles that were printed about Zacchaeus. And the news heading for Zacchaeus is, Zacchaeus is a sinner. Zacchaeus is no good. He's nobody with nothing. He's a criminal. He schemes. He plots. He steals money from people. He's continually trying to connive and twist people's arm to give him all the money that they have. He's a schemer and conniver. That's the press about Zacchaeus. He's a man whose name means righteous, but he doesn't live up to it, and he has bad press. Has anybody had some bad press about you before? Some things that people said, man, that guy is a liar. Man, that person, man, if God was standing in front of him on the Bible, they still wouldn't tell the truth. Has anybody had that? I know you can't lift your hand, but has anybody had some bad press in your life? Man, I'm just not good enough. I just don't measure up. I am just not good enough. And then the Bible says he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, I just want to tell you that Zacchaeus in his mind was like, this is the day I'm going to appoint myself. I'm making an appointment to meet with Jesus. But I want you to notice the first verse of that chapter is where Jesus was already making the steps to reach for Zacchaeus. He was already passing through that city to meet with the one, to meet with the one sheep, to meet with the one lost coin, to meet with the prodigal son. He was reaching for the one. So he climbs up into a tree. There's a weird correlation in Scripture about trees, and we'll talk about that in a minute. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Now, I want you to notice that everybody is looking down on Zacchaeus. They're saying he's nobody. He's a thief. He schemes, connives. Everybody's looking down. For once in his life, Jesus looked up, and he saw Zacchaeus. Now, there's been a lot of people in my life that have looked down on me, said, man, he's really made some bad mistakes. But I'm so thankful that there's one that never gave up hope on me. Every time they were looking down, Jesus was looking up. And he said, I know one day he's going to be everything I want him to be. Right now, he's a failure. Right now, he's a mistake. Right now, he's a good-for-nothing sinner. But I know one day I'm going to see him. He's going to be standing up at the Experience Church preaching the gospel. I know one day I can see it through the eyes of mercy. I'm here to tell you that Jesus right now is looking through the eyes of mercy, not through your mistaken failures. He's looking through the eyes of mercy. Thank God I'm not like I was, not like I used to be. Jesus forgave my sin. My sins are washed neath the power of the blood. Jesus looked through the eyes of mercy and he said, Zacchaeus, he called him by his name. You're telling me he knows my name? You're telling me this whole time everybody else is trying to forget about me, but he utters my name in front of the crowd. He said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. What are you doing in that tree? Why are you climbing that tree? Come down from the tree. I'm here to tell you today that we can't do enough good works to receive mercy. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much good works you do. You'll never do enough to receive mercy.
I want to reach for somebody here this morning, because I believe that mercy has a voice. Mercy has a voice. Mercy has, it communicates a certain way. And a lot of times people hear condemnation. They say, they hear, man, you're never going to amount to anything. Man, why did you do that? Man, there's some church people, let's be honest. There's some church people. You'll come stumbling in on a Sunday. You say, maybe I'll give church just one more chance. Maybe I'll give it one more shot. They come stumbling in, and there's some self-righteous, self-dignified saint of God that looks at them and says, I know what you did. Man, you messed up pretty good, didn't you? And that's not the voice of mercy. That's the voice of condemnation. That's a voice from hell. I'm here to tell you, if you're feeling pushed down and neglected, that's not the voice of mercy. Let me tell you what the voice of mercy is. It's called compassion. The voice of mercy has a tone of compassion. It says, I know what you did, but come here. I'm going to love you again. I know how bad you messed up, but come here. Let me love you again. I know the mistake that you made, but come here. Let me wrap my arms around you. Let me love you one more time. I know the mistake you made. I know the hell you've been involved in, but my mercy is reaching one more time. One more time. Hayala bosataye. Yatayala bosotoye. You ought to lift your hands right now. Don't let condemnation be the voice. Listen to the voice of compassion. God, I know you're not done with me. I know you're not finished. Come on, your failure is not final. You haven't messed up so bad that you're done, and God's going to throw you away. Mercy has a voice. Mercy has a voice. And he said, Zacchaeus, get down from the tree. That's not where you're supposed to be. I'm thinking to myself, the tree. Zacchaeus was never meant to hang on the tree. It was on a Friday on Calvary where Jesus got up on a tree. He said, Zacchaeus, it's not for you to hang up for your sins. It's not for you to feel the full weight of the mistakes that you made. I know you schemed and connived. I know you stole from people. I know you made mistakes. But it's not for you to get up on the tree. That's for me to get up on the tree. And I'm going to hang there with nails in my hands, with a crown of thorns on my head, with nails in my feet, and drops of blood are gonna flow from the tree of Calvary. I'm just speaking today about mercy. I'm just speaking today about when mercy met me. I don't know about you. All of you have it put together, but I'm speaking as a personal testimony. There was a day when I was so far gone. I went to a youth convention. I was about 17 years old, and I went in there, and I had not done good. I can tell you that. I went in there, and on the first night of youth convention, Matthew Tuttle was preaching. And how can you not feel the presence of God when Matthew Tuttle's preaching? And I remember sitting there and thinking about everything that I'd done. And I said, God, I know you want me to be a preacher, but I think I messed up too big for this. How can I get up and preach to people when I have sin in my own life? How can I talk about mercy when I've never really felt the full weight of what mercy is. I remember hearing about it when I grew up, about mercy and grace. I remember hearing songs about mercy. But there comes a point in your life when you've made so many mistakes and you can fully grapple with what it feels to be embraced by mercy. Do you remember that day? Do you remember when mercy met you for the first time? I remember being at youth convention. I was sitting there. Everybody was dancing, shouting. I was dancing and shouting because I didn't want people to know what I was been doing. An altar call came. I remember going over to the far side of the service, and I was over there. I was sprawled out. I was laying flat on the floor. I said, God, I'm never going to amount to anything. I've messed up so many times. My parents told me not to do it. My brothers told me not to do it. I'll never amount to anything. And I heard a little voice, a hand on my shoulder, and it was Matthew Tuttle. And he said, I know you're wrestling with your mistakes, but I want to tell you that the mercy and grace of God is greater. And I remember laying on that floor. I was so pushed down by every mistake I had made. I was sprawled out. I wasn't amounting to anything. I was laying flat. I was little of stature. And I remember hearing about the voice of mercy, that maybe God could use somebody like me. And I remember feeling a ton of weight come off my shoulders. And mercy has a way of just lifting the weight of condemnation off of you. It has a way of lifting those mistakes off of you until you get up to your feet and say, God, your mercy is so much greater than any mistake I have ever made. I want to speak this because a lot of us here today are sitting here like we've never done anything. That's okay for you. I guess it's mercy just met me. But if I'm looking in this story and I see blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says after he cried for mercy and mercy stopped, the Bible says he glorified God. Not only that, but all the people lifted up their voices and praised God. Do you know how you can tell when somebody's met mercy? This is going to be deep. It's going to be shown by the way they worship. It's going to be shown not with them sitting there saying, well, this is a decent message. When you felt the weight of mercy, it causes you to get up and recall the day mercy met you. All of a sudden, you lift your hands, you lift your voice, and you glorify God. It doesn't take much. You just lift your hands and begin to magnify the Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, I've got to shout. I've got to dance. I've got to rejoice. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. The mercy of God wants to reach for somebody today. Why don't you lift your hands right now all across this house? Come on, there's a divine appointment mercy wants to have with you. I don't know what you did yesterday. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you did last week. But here right now, mercy wants to rewrite the rest of your story. You may say to yourself, man, I've wrote my story. It's been a mess. Why don't you give the pen to mercy and let him rewrite your story? Come on, mercy is walking through this house right now. He's walking up and down these pews right now. He wants to meet with somebody here today. Don't let mercy pass you by. He's come to meet with you. Bartimaeus, you can continue standing. Bartimaeus had the response of worship. He praised the Lord. He lifted up his voice and said, yes, I can finally see. The scales have released from off my eyes. I can finally see again. But Zacchaeus had a different response. This is a response I want to hone in at the end of this service. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You're saying to yourself, man, I don't have really any riches to give. Well, what is this speaking about to me? What does this emphasize to me today? How does this speak to me? The first response was worship. This next response was surrender. When you finally felt mercy for the first time, when you've encountered the face of mercy and he says, I don't care what you've done. I'm going to take you and you're going to be everything I want you to be. It's going to cause you to surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm done doing it on my own. What does that look like? I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to stop gossiping. I'm going to stop conniving and scheming. I'm putting away my life, and I'm saying, mercy, I surrender to your hand. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Take my hands. Take my feet. Touch my heart. Speak to me. When you've truly met mercy, it'll cause you to surrender. Now, Pastor leaned over to me before I got up here, and he said, today I feel something like a new beginning. I feel a new beginning. And thinking to myself, Pastor, I don't know if that goes with my message. But here today, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. And I'm here to tell you the new thing that you need to be acquainted with is a person called mercy. Has anybody felt the mercy of God before? Do you remember that moment? Right now in this house, maybe you felt it. And can I tell you about mercy? It keeps showing up. It keeps coming, knocking at your door. Remember me. But there is somebody here today, Pastor, that feels like you've messed up too much. And God's grace and mercy is not big enough to cover you. I'm here to tell you right now, because I've felt the mercy of God. There is nothing that you could do that could stop the mercy of God from reaching you. Well, you say, Damien, I'm a liar. God's mercy can reach for you. Damien, I'm a cheater. The mercy of God could reach for you. If mercy could meet me, then mercy could meet anybody in this house. What I want to happen in this house, mercy is already here. It was here before you got here this morning. It was waiting for this moment. He was saying, I can't wait for this divine appointment. I've been waiting here all week for them to come in and for them to encounter my mercy. Here right now, I want to introduce to you mercy. Mercy is here right now. I know you feel condemnation, but mercy is here. If that is for you today, I want you to step out of where you are right now and say, I'm going to have an appointment with mercy today.